Hello, my name is Tamara McGuire, and I get the privilege of serving as the elementary coordinator at the Lyndale campus, and I have Bethany here with me.
Hi, everyone.
She serves at the Old Jacksonville campus. My husband and Mike and I have three kids. They are 6, 4, and 2, so we are in this phase right now because our son is in first grade.
Same. We have a 5-year-old and a 7-year-old, so we have our 5-year-old that is about to be in kindergarten next year.
All right. So we're here right here with you guys.
Right here.
This class is not going to tell you everything about your kid, but it will tell you a few things about your kid at this age. And the best way to use this class is to take what we tell you about kindergartners and first graders and combine it with what you know is true about your kid. The only guarantee I can give you is that you will mess this up at some point this year. Actually, that's pretty much a guarantee, right?
Every day.
Yes. But you are here, and we want to help you parent your child just a little better. And you are, because you took a moment to be here and to consider a few ideas that will help you make the most of this phase. All right, so in the world of education, kindergartners, first graders, and second graders often get grouped into a category called early childhood, or as I like to call them, the fun years.
Fun?
In this phase, there's very little drama. Drama exists, but just a little bit, or romantic distraction. Instead, it's an age where they make believe, and make believe becomes reality. Imagination pumps through the room so strongly you can almost feel it. And children discover that they have the power to create a unique place in this world.
So, welcome to early childhood. You're right in the heart of the sweetest years. There's something so special about this phase. Where previously your kid might have been one adorable toddler drawing the attention of multiple adults, they are now in the classroom with multiple kids. Some even as cute and smart as they are. Kindergarten is a platform for discovery and growth. With 1 year of formal education behind them, most first graders begin to gain remarkable confidence and enjoy exploring new and unfamiliar concepts. First grade and kindergarten classrooms also have the uncanny ability to celebrate growth. And this is the year for the graveyard of baby teeth and other things that the children must let go of to grow room for growing up. And with them growing up, it's a good reason that we get to celebrate all the little things with them. So when they come in and squeal, "I've lost a tooth," we get to congratulate them and tell them how much we are so proud of them and they are growing up. Even though we feel as though it's the bitter truth and end of it all, it's good for them to grow. If you want to know how to support your kids in this phase, the answer is simple. We need to be with them. So even if they are starting to read on their own, we still need to sit down and read with them. And even though they like to be with their friends, they still want to know that we are right there with them too. And even though they might be learning to do cartwheels, they want to do them with us watching. Our kindergartners and first graders are happiest when the adults that they look up to are simply around, not just doing things for them, but doing things with them.
Yes, that was such a good reminder for me when I read that, because we are in this phase with our son right now, and I really think he just needs me to be with him. So I'm making a conscious effort right now when he comes home from school to just be with him. Like, we played football yesterday and we're figuring this thing out. So a parent's attention really is the best thing for young children. This is especially true of first graders who are learning how to see themselves by noticing the way other people see them. Physiologically, a child's brain is actually wired for attention. Bethany, have you ever noticed your first grader repeating the same phrase over and over, or even sometimes acting out on purpose?
Yes. They want to make sure that I'm watching them.
Yes.
And listening.
Well, take comfort, because your kid is normal. They do these things because it feels better to receive negative attention than to be ignored. Your first grader craves your attention because it lets him know he matters. So, what does this phase need most? You. It needs parents. It needs mom and dad there being with the kids, not just doing things for them, but doing things with them. And life is moving fast. And sometimes your time and attention may feel like the hardest thing to give. But this is a phase that won't last forever. And when you pay attention to the fun, unique individual your child is becoming, you'll discover the true joy of this kindergartner or first grader. And when kids know that they're valued, it plants a seed of self-worth that will for sure serve them well for years to come.
Yes, I agree. Well, did you know that there are only approximately 936 weeks from the time our babies are born until they grow up and move on to whatever is next?
Sad.
It's so sad. Well, it may seem hard to believe, but on the day that your child starts kindergarten, we only have 676 weeks remaining. That's almost 300 weeks already shaved off. And while things like cell phone contracts, driver's license still feels so far away, our kids are growing up faster than we've ever dreamed. That's why every week counts, and that's why it's good for us to be present. Of course, each week might not feel significant, but there may be weeks that this year that all you feel like you've accomplished is waking your kids up and yourself up early enough to get them to school on time, and that's okay. Take a big, deep breath. You don't have to get everything done this week. But what happens in your child's life week after week, year after year, adds up over time. So it might be a good idea to put a number to your weeks. You only have 52 weeks with your kindergartner, and then they will be in first grade. And once they're in first grade, you only have 52 weeks with them as a first grader, and then they'll be on to second grade. You just never know them again as a first grader or a kindergartner. Or to say it another way, before you know it, your kid is going to grow up a little more, and they're going to be on sports teams, you're going to be driving them all over the place, and legitimately beat you at checkers. Or they may say a word that you didn't even know that they knew. The point is that phases you are in now have remarkable potential. And before the end of kinder and first grade, there are some distinctive opportunities you don't want to miss. So, as you count down the next 52 weeks, pay attention to what makes these weeks uniquely different from the time you've already spent together and the weeks that you will have when they move on to the next phase.
All right, so let's look at the characteristics of a kindergartner and a first grader. By this age, they can speak in sentences, which for a while I didn't know if we were going to get there. And they even have long, wandering monologues. You will be amazed and entertained by all the profound and uncensored things they say. And I'm sure we could both give you examples that would fill a book, maybe, of just the hilarious and even profound things that our kids have said. So in this phase, you will need to adjust for a cultural shift, which is school. We are learning that right now, that it means less time for play, more early morning, just routines and alarm clocks, and a higher demand for focused attention. So kids, yes, they do thrive at this age on routine and predictability. They also crave opportunities to have unstructured play, a chance to skip and run and be outside, to throw and catch a ball, and just to use their imagination. Kids at this phase need undivided attention. At school, church, or on the soccer field, one thing is true. They want your undivided attention. The average classroom, which is true for my son, his class has 20 kids in it. So they're hungry for individualized adult attention and approval. So when it's the end of the day and your first grader keeps asking, look at me, or my son says, hey, will you come? Will you play a game with me? Will you go do this with me? I'm really, truly working on giving him my attention just as often as possible. All right, so if we are trying to motivate kids with too many rules, it might work against their primary motive and actually drive them to find enjoyment somewhere else, which is what we do not want. So when we guide them with love, we introduce transferable principles that will help them just win in life and be successful in friendships.
So a few things to know about your kinder and first graders. They can finally put a name to all their major emotions. They have a hard time regulating fear, and sometimes they really want to be the first to win. Tamara, do you ever experience that?
Yes, this morning. Literally had a conversation just about that.
Yes. So if you remember, preschoolers think that like artists, and their world is full of wonder and imagination. And elementary kids, They think like scientists. They combined their wonder and discover to search for answers. They discover how things work through repetition and clear application. Brian research suggests that during the ages 4 through 10, kids learn information quickly and easily. But just because kids at this age are eager learners doesn't mean that they learn like adults. They are still mostly concrete thinkers. They learn best when they can observe something in their present environment, and the more frequently a new concept can be connected to everyday experience, the better for them.
Yep. So over the next 676 weeks of your child's life, some conversations may matter more than others. So what you say about Star Wars or Shark Attacks or Justin Timberlake might have less impact on their future than what you say about health, sex, technology, or faith. So these are four conversations that you probably have started having with your kids and will continue having over these next few years that we're going to break down. All right, so health, number one. These are things you're probably doing, but they are great reminders for everyone. It's important to maintain a good relationship with your pediatrician and schedule a well visit at least once a year. We have my sons coming up, and I have a running list of questions to ask him, which I'm not like a super crazy mom, but I have questions for him. Like, is this normal? Are there hormonal things that are happening in his body to make him behave this way? Because I just don't know. So we can use the him as a resource. You can also just develop healthy habits for your kids, like model hand washing, which everyone probably knows how to do now because these days everyone's washing their hands all the time.
Everywhere.
You prioritize being active. So tell them that you love watching them run, or you love watching them ride their bike or swimming. And then just modeling healthy eating. And I think it's important to remember that little ears and eyes are watching everything that you are doing and what you're saying about your body, what you're saying about food. And so I think parents have an awesome opportunity to just model self-love and self-care. But I've loved at this phase that they can really help you cook. Like Campbell loves to help chop vegetables. He loves to just be a part. Probably that goes back to just he wants to be with me. And sometimes it's not what I want. I want to do it by myself, or it's easier for me to do it by myself, but it is good. And that's just a place that he wants to help. So, and they love to see what goes into their food, which is awesome. Another like thing regarding health is just having some safety skills at this point. So knowing how to dial 911, a fire plan, just the safety things, which are important. All right, conversation number two is about sexual integrity. So this year, you will inform them how things work, kind of, so that your child will understand, and you just start having that conversation about the beginnings of sex. So your kindergartner or first grader may have already asked you some questions, and maybe you weren't ready to give a full disclosure answer, and that is okay. In this phase, it's most important to give simple answers to biological questions, to continue coaching privacy and personal boundaries, and just keep the conversation casual. I think just keep the conversation open. I've been surprised when I speak matter-of-factly about things with our kids that it doesn't get the response that I might expect. I think that they're going to respond one way, and they actually, you just say the answer and they're like, okay, they just take it for what it is instead of turning it into some sort of potty talk, you know? But your child does need you to be intentional parents who model a continuum of healthy behavior. So it's good to think through what you want to communicate to your child about sex. So when the time comes to talk about it more in detail, you're ready. My parents never talked with me about sex, but my husband and I really want to be the ones to introduce what it is and why it was created. We want our kids to know the facts and to not be given false information on the playground from some kid that doesn't know anything besides what his older brother told him. So we realize that requires work on our part as well as some uncomfortable conversations. So some kind of helpful pointers, maybe if you're not ready to talk about it, you can always say, can we talk about this more another time? You can, just be sure to pick it up later. You can just affirm their questions and say, I'm so glad you asked me that. Another thing that we just touch on a lot in our house is that we say touching is never a secret, which always leaves just the door open for conversations about just sex in general.
It's so important. All those things are so great. And the next thing that we're going to talk about is technology. It is everywhere, and it feels like we can't escape it. But your kid is gaining digital proficiency every day. Most schools schedule some engagement with technology, but even though your child is a digital native, they still need an adult present guiding them as they continue to explore all the great things they can do with technology. Think through what rules you want to have for your digital devices in your family. We can say things like, we don't want you to use any Google search engines alone. Please come to Mommy and Daddy, and we will help you do that. Let me see what you did, and we want to show interest in what they're doing on the computer. And sometimes we need to ask before we use the computer. So make sure that Mommy and Daddy know that you're on the computer before you get there. So as parents, we also need to take precautions and maybe turn on a safe search and don't let Siri answer your kinder or first graders' questions. I don't know, but we can look it up together is something that we can say if they are trying to search on their own. Set healthy boundaries and clear expectations when it comes to technology and devices. You're laying down groundwork for their responsibility and learned habits going into their teen years. So from in-classroom technology to peer influences, and your child's mind is consistently being open to things you are not able to control. As these unknown variables come into play, the elementary years should be spent building a strong foundation in your child's understanding about boundaries concerning technology, screen time, and right from wrong from the beginning. So remember, boundaries are set with external limitations that, with consistency over time with your child, eventually become their internalized wisdom. So we need to set healthy boundaries and clear expectations when it comes to technology and devices. We are laying down the groundwork for their responsibility and learned habits for the teen years. From in-classroom technology to peer influences, our child's mind is constantly being open to things you are not able to control. As these unknown variables come into play, the elementary years should be spent building a strong foundation in your child's understanding about boundaries concerning technology and screen time. Remember, boundaries are set of external limitations. With consistency over time, eventually it's going to become our child's wisdom. So if you want a tween who doesn't argue about your family's online safety parameters, we need to start in preschool. Moms and dads, these are critical years to really set boundaries.
Yeah, we are learning that. We are trying to put our phones down more and more and more.
They watch us so
much.
Yeah,
they do. And I don't want my horrible habits to be given to him. So we're working hard to put it down more. All right, so conversation number four is about faith. So we get an awesome opportunity to talk about just their relationship with the Lord, and they are learning so much at this age, which I love. I think a couple things to think through are what adults are influencing your child's faith. It's really important to us as a family to have other people saying the same things that we are, believing the same things, just other people who are modeling a relationship with Jesus around our kids. So that's a good thing to always think through. And then what routines or habits do you have in your own life that are stretching your faith and knowing that they're watching you? And yeah, we need to establish that routine. So this year, you will provoke discovery so your child will trust God's character and experience God's family. Your kid might be learning to read and enjoy books, which is so fun. This is a great year to purchase a kid's Bible. So you can look for the Jesus Storybook Bible, or we just bought a little NIRV Bible, which my son's not the best reader yet, but we are working on reading it with him and teaching him just how to look up things in a Bible. It's continuing to build a great foundation. So you get to have really cool faith conversations as you go about your days together. So you get to say things like, if they're scared or if they're nervous about something, then we are just saying, okay, then let's go to God about it. Let's talk to him. Let's pray about it together. We have a lot of conversations about just what it looks like to make the wise choice and the God-honoring choice, which sometimes I think a lot of that goes over their head. But we're just hoping over time that, you know, it's continuing to build that foundation. And then a friend loves at all times times. He is there to help when trouble comes, which is obviously in Proverbs. So it's good to just repeat simple Bible verses. It's also could be cool to come up with a family verse that can help steer conversations and choices positively. So if you create a routine with Bible reading and also that you let them see you in the same type of routine.
Yes, I try every morning to make sure that my girls see me in my Bible.
Yeah, it's good.
It's so important.
Fruit. Yeah.
All right, so now we're going to move on and talk about six things that every kid needs at this age. The first one we're going to talk about is love. It seems like common sense, but they need love to give them a sense of worth, to give them the love that they need and that you need to engage in their interest. This requires paying attention to what they like. Again, going back to letting them know that we're there. This communicates that their ideas and interests have value and establishes that our efforts are significant. It is a solid way to demonstrate that they are worth loving.
Yeah, that's good. My son really likes to cut down trees. Like, we have woods behind our house, and I know that it will literally make his day if I just tell him that I will go cut trees with him, and he like just finds so much joy in that. So I've literally had to be like, okay, Tam, you can do this. Like, this is what he loves.
That's the best.
It's it's good. All right. So the second thing is stories. Stories give us, everyone, a bigger perspective. They help spark imagination, creativity, and stimulate curiosity. Stories I love because they teach us about life, about ourselves, and also about others. So whether you're reading out loud, reading books out loud, or just telling family stories, it's good to just tell stories.
Yeah, we have those chat books, and they'll look back on pictures that they don't remember, and we get to tell the story why that picture was taken.
Yeah, it's so great.
That's always fun. All right, and then we're also going to talk about work. Work can give them significance. And what work can our kinder and first graders do? They can do things like brush their hair, their teeth. When they get home from school, we can make sure that they get their homework done. They can wash and dry their hands. Although sometimes it needs to be monitored, they're still learning. They can sort toys in their room and put them away. They can load and unload the dishwasher and laundry. So we try to do that at our house, and it's so much easier for me to just do it because I know how the dishwasher is going to be loaded, and it may look chaotic, but I try to step back and let them do that so that they do feel that significance, you know, of growing up. And so other things that they can do, we need to teach them is how to make emergency phone calls, how to make their bed, take care of the pets, and one that always gets used overly and way too much in my house, but refill the toilet paper.
Hard times with toilet paper too. All right, so number four is fun. You know, we've already talked about how this age in particular is motivated by fun, and fun that we have with them gives us connection with them. So what are some fun things you can do as a family? Well, you can play games together. We love Uno at our house. We love Connect Four. We just got Zingo, which is a big hit with our kids. Marble runs, art, Legos, nature walks, you know, basically the list is endless, and you could look, you know, on Pinterest or anywhere to figure out ways to just have fun together. We did get a stomp rocket for Christmas. I don't know if you guys have a stomp rocket, but it's so fun. It's literally just, it's so simple. It's like a thing that fills with air, and you attach this like styrofoam rocket on the end of it, and they jump on it and the rocket flies, and then my husband and I try to catch the rocket, and so it becomes this like huge hilarious family event. Anyways, we go on for Christmas and it's been so fun. So there's an example if you need it.
Yes. Well, we are a little bit more boring. We're doing Chinese checkers at our house.
Oh, it's a big pants. One.
So, all right. Number five that we want to talk about is tribes. And we want to make sure that they have a tribe that they belong to. Going back to what Tamara said earlier was, you know, we really want to make sure that we know the people that are in their life, you know, their family, coaches at school. We really want to get to know their friends and their friends' families. We also get to monitor babysitters and know who comes in and out and has influence on their life in our own home. So, but then when they're going to go to church, they're also going to have small group leaders, and we get to meet those people. So at this point, we get to really monitor or we get to really choose who is in their circle.
Yeah, and it's not going to be like that forever. Like right now, it's really the only time I feel like that we get to kind of pick and choose who is in their life. And so I want to kind of be picky that I'm going to choose people that are going to push them toward the Lord, hopefully, and model relationship with Jesus. So yeah, building that tribe is really important. All right, words. Words are important. It gives them direction. There are words that they need to hear. I think just greeting them in the morning by saying, good morning, I'm so glad to see you, or I love you. Maybe even saying like, I've noticed you do this really well. I think just anytime you can affirm them and tell them that you're watching what they're doing and you see what they're doing. I think saying I'm sorry, which are really sour words out of your mouth, they're hard to say, but I, you know, am, as a parent, I'm learning to say that to my kids, that I mess up and I want them to see that I do mess up. And so I go to my kids and I confess and I say, I'm sorry because mommy was not kind in that moment, or I was really angry for no reason and I'm sorry. And so, yeah, I think saying that hopefully is teaching them to also say sorry. Also, don't forget at this phase that your child is still learning vocabulary. So talk to them, the more, the better. And when you talk, we make eye contact with them. You can read, you can sing, you can make up rhymes. you can talk about new words when you see them or hear them or read them. So it's just fun because it's an age where they're literally just sponges. They're soaking up everything.
Yes. Well, now let's talk about creating a rhythm with our kids. So we only have so many weeks. We've already established that. And every week has potential. So the secret to making the most of the phase that your child is in is to take advantage of the time that we already have. So let's create a rhythm to our weeks by leveraging these four times together. Morning time is always a good time. You know, greet them and give them a hug. Tell them that you love them. Be a coach and instill purpose by starting the day with encouraging words to them. And then our next time, you know, we get in the car. Our drive time, we're going to be taking them to school. Our next time is meal time. We want to be a teacher and establish values and intentional conversations while we eat together. So one of the things that we have at mealtime is we have a book that's 365 questions at dinner time, and it gives us questions every single night, and both of our girls get to answer them, and we write them down. But it's a three-year book, so every year we get to see how their answers grow every night.
That's so fun.
And so it's so fun to do that together. And then the last time of day that we have is bedtime with them. So we really want to soak in this time and really make it intentional. This is a time we can be their counselor and strengthen our relationship through heart conversations at the end of the day. We can ask them what their highs and lows were for the day, and we can really just be intentional, like I said, and, you know, really grasp what they went through for the day and maybe point them to the Lord and how maybe we can make that better the next day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, bedtime is something for us that we usually, I want to just put them down really fast and be done with it because I'm tired.
Yeah.
And I'm usually just, yeah, I just want them to go to bed. But my husband and I this year are trying to just be more intentional and not just like be done with them, but really just be intentional with that time because they probably won't want us to put them to bed forever. So, all right, parents, we start out with a low relational influence and a high positional influence, which is another way of saying that we are in charge of a mini human who went from pooping 10 times a day to having extraordinary potential. So we as parents have one primary goal. We want to rely less on our positional influence and increase our relational influence until a child can live independently. So I'm going to say that again. We want to rely less on our positional influence and increase our relational influence until a child can live independently.
Oh, that's so good. I love that. Well, you know, as parents, we all wrestle with how to create boundaries without forfeiting the relationships with our kids. And it takes a lot of practice knowing when to hold on and when to let go. So I'm still learning all about this with mine as we grow in our house. And sometimes it's challenging and sometimes it's a little easier. But unfortunately, as they practice, the amount of hours a parent has to invest in our kids relationally reduces drastically with every passing phase. So as a preschooler, we get about 12 hours a day with them. And then it drops down to 6 hours a day with an elementary kid. And then we cut down again to 4 hours a day with our middle schoolers. And it just continues to cut down to 2 hours a day with our high schooler. It just seems like we lose time so fast with them. So it's so important to just really be intentional with our time and to know that we only have a little bit.
Yes. So if I only knew then what I know now, is what every parent always says, that every phase is important. Every phase needs to be understood, and every phase lays a foundation for what is coming next. And if we're not careful, we'll miss important moments in each phase that will help prepare our kids for the future. Every parent wants to understand their kids better, and it seems like just about the time we understand the current phase they're in and start feeling like a rock star parent, our kids move into the next phase, and we feel in over our heads, which is where we are right now.
Keeping us on our toes.
The good news is that we have amazing resources through the Phase Project and even just through the church in general to help equip parents and leaders to really know kids in each phase, and so that we can be more intentional about the time we have right now. So parents, we love you. We're praying for you, and we are in this together.
Thanks, Tamara.